Hello, this is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
We've preached Christ here, and we've exalted his deity. And in Ephesians, it's talking about creating the image of Christ. I want us to talk a little more about this God-likeness or Christ-likeness. So, I've selected a few hymns, especially this one here. But let's sing a few hymns. 722, wonderful words of life.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty sing, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty.
The next hymn having to do with Lord Jesus being God and becoming man, O Word of God Incarnate, number 267.
Oh,
Now this next hymn is a children's hymn, and if children can sing it, I think we can do it also, can't we? It really describes what I really want to say tonight about the Lord Jesus becoming man, the humanity of Christ. Will you sing with me, "Once in Rural David's City"? That's probably the best hymn that I could find on the incarnation of Christ, as far as the humanity of Christ, and it's for children. Yet I find it a little difficult to sing. Did you find it a little difficult to sing? Let's pray. Our Father, we're grateful tonight that you brought us here, and there's a reason. Not only is it our habit to meet together to study your word and have prayer time, we believe that pleases you, but also we believe that providentially there is something that we can learn, and it'll be a help to us. And our Father, if there's that passion in our hearts that we would like to be more like the Lord Jesus, we see ourselves as falling short, may we be encouraged tonight to take heart and look at these passages of scriptures, and that we might see our blessed Lord Jesus. Once again, thank you for helping us. And, oh Lord, we would remember Jim Thomas and his sickness presently and quite low. We pray for him. We ask for healing for him. We ask for encouragement for him. And our Father, there are others that need help. We pray, Father, that your will be done in these lives. In the name of Christ, amen. Please be seated, and let's turn to some passages. I left a page of my message up on the desk. I guess I'll leave that for the next time, because there's quite a bit of work here, quite a bit of scriptures. I could go get it, but maybe I will, maybe I won't. I don't know how I missed that. Well, did you ever think that, say, I really would like to be more like the Lord Jesus? You know, to be a follower of the Lamb? To be like Jesus? Say, well, yes, but truth of the matter is, it's not that not doing quite that well, perhaps. But, you know, if you have something you want to do and to do it right, you'll spend a lot of time on it. Yeah. One time I loaded my own shells for hunting. And I wasn't satisfied with just putting some powder in and then putting a bullet in. I wanted that to be the powder and the bullet and the case and everything be married so when I shoot it 100 yards, it would be about an inch. And I mean regularly an inch. So he said, oh, Rob. And that took time. Some of you know what time it means to do something. Say, I really got to do this. And it, oh man, it's taken me so much time to do that. You know, I come to this subject tonight and say the same thing. If we really want to be Christ-like, more like Christ, it's going to take some time and effort and energy. I know you're going to be kidding around about it. So I already know that. Well, I think that what really happens, and I don't hardly want to criticize this, but most of what we've heard about the Lord Jesus as to his deity and how glorious that he is God, that he's God. And we've emphasized that enough around here, I believe, quite a bit. But I don't know that we've emphasized the fact that he's fully man, also fully God. One person, fully God, fully man. Yeah, I don't know. I remember years ago, Dr. Paul Jackson, he was president of Baptist Bible Seminary, and he preached on the humanity of the Lord Jesus, and I was very much impressed. And I think it's a subject that we need to talk about, and you ought to, and I ought to try to imitate what he did as far as possible, what he is. And so he was one person with two natures. That's what I wanted to show you. The fact of it is, we mostly spend our time on the deity of the Lord Jesus and not a whole lot on his humanity. Now, I have a verse on the board that I want to get to eventually, so don't think I've forgotten it. The thing I would like you to see, first of all, that our blessed Lord Jesus was not a human before he came here on this earth. He was not before the incarnation, when he came as a baby, he was not a human. And God the Father is not a human. But he is a human now. Our blessed Lord Jesus is. And I think that's marvelous. And so he's in heaven right now. He's there bodily. This same Jesus that you see going away will come in likeness. He's going to come back in a bodily form. Now I know that bodily form is glorified. It's marvelous. It can go through doors. But it does eat a glorified body because he ate fish with the disciples and had breakfast with him on the shore there. And so a resurrected Savior did eat. And he talks about at his feast that we're going to eat together, whatever that means, friends. And so I just want to show you some things about the Lord Jesus that when he does come back bodily, but I'm not going to deal that aspect. I want to talk about when he was here. I suppose rather than to go to 1 Timothy chapter 2 first, I'd like to go to the Gospel of John. Why? Well, I think that maybe we ought to start there before we get to Timothy, at least progressively. For we read about our blessed Lord and as a human being in the fourth chapter with the Samaritan woman as he went to the well there. And we notice his humanity in this whole thing in John's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. We read this, he said he must needs go through Samaria. That's verse 4. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being what? In his humanity? Weary? Do you get weary? He was weary with his journey. And what did he do? He sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And then cometh the woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Are you talking about humanity? Yes, I am. He's weary, and he sat down, and he needs a drink. And does that give you some idea of his humanity? That is God, the fully God and fully man. And the man part is what I want us to look at basically tonight. If you read further, not in Gospel of John, but 1 John, the first epistle of John, you read further about his humanity, that it ought to encourage you. How should it encourage you tonight? To encourage you to say, I can be more like the Lord Jesus. And I understand him. And I have spent some time seeing how he really did perform as far as a human person here while he was on earth. Fully God, fully man. So in 1 John chapter 1, and I start to read at verse 1, you want to know about his humanity? Look at these things, friends. That which was from the beginning, speaking about Christ, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested. We've seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Mm-hmm. Yes. Verse that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. How can I get joy out of this? Well, he was seen. Now, in old history, and I'm not going to give you the details of it, but there was the Gnostics. They said, yes, Jesus is God. But as far as his humanity, they said it was more or less like a phantom, a ghost, the Gnostics taught. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. Look at here. If you think they had any ounce of reasoning to do that, the things that they said, they seen him, verse 3, they heard him, and they had fellowship with him, and go up there, it's verse 2, he is manifested. The life was manifested. We've seen it. And it says up there, we've heard, verse 1, we've seen, which we've looked upon, our hands have what? Handled a phantom? A ghost? No. They handled him. A human being. I think we ought to really see that there's some possibilities here that, hey, here's the Lord Jesus, and we're to be like him. I don't even mind that criticism was said about some of you people, that you're, what are you, little Jesuses? That's a pretty nice criticism. That's what we ought to be. But where shall I start? Well, let's start with his birth. So, he was born. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost. Now, may I make it very clear? A human being, perfect, sinless. Oh, well, there we go. Might as well just close the book and go home, because we're not that. In the sight of God we are, don't forget that, positionally. But listen to this. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost. That's why he was sinless. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Guest. Sinless. And so after 9 months, yes, ladies, he was born that way. Mary, and little baby, and he came forth, you know. Slippery little thing, and maybe not smell the best. You know how babies are when they're born. Hey, that's the way. You're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. God saw it necessary that there be a human being, that we might have one who would be our substitute. Very, very important. We'll see that in 1 Timothy. But I'm not there yet. But and as a little baby, listen, ladies, let's not be silly about it. Babies need to be, they're helpless. Come on. How to feed him? No. Yes, they fed him. They took care of him. They taught him how to read. They taught him how to, you know, do certain things that you have to do, how to write and how to talk. You're kidding me. No, I'm not kidding you. Just get a picture of Jesus Christ other than his deity, which is so glorious. No use talking about his humanity if you don't believe it's full deity. But let's talk about his humanity a little bit. I don't know. If you're going to start ABC, you might want to start with humanity before you start talking about deity. But we don't do that. We talk about deity, which is good, which is great, which is ought to be and necessary. But we can minimize these things and say, well, it's not that important. Not that important? Tell me, how could you be like God, invisible, God the Father? How could you be like God? Well, you're in the flesh. But you can be like the Lord Jesus. And that's what I want us to have a goal. Don't quit just because you have some things that are giving you problems. Don't quit yet. In Luke 2, it's a beautiful passage. You say, I don't know if it go quite that far along with it. I don't know. I think he was perfect. He didn't have to be taught how to read and how to write. He just did it automatically. You know better than that. In the Gospel of Luke in chapter 2, we read this about our Lord Jesus. That, and I think it's such a beautiful passage. And Jesus, the last verse of chapter 2 of Luke, and Jesus increased. What? He grew, increased in wisdom and stature as he got older, like boys do, and in favor with God and man. See, I don't quite understand what that means. What don't you understand about that? As a little baby, he grew and had the necessity to take care of him, weakness and so forth. Yes, God in the flesh. Well, and so not only that, but he increased in wisdom. And I would have to say this, as far as being a student, he probably was A++++. Because he put those doctors of law there, and he was 12 years old. He dumbfounded them at the temple. They couldn't get over how much he knew. Well, he studied. And I want to tell you something else. While we're here in Luke, let's go to the fourth chapter. He was religious. Oh, well, I expect he would be religious. In what way was he religious? And how can we, you know, how can we imitate or be followers of the Lord? And there's such things, the little things, even like in the fourth chapter there in verse 16. What did he do? Well, when he came up to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, what was your custom? He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. this generation says, you know, I don't think it's that important to go to church. I mean, church won't save you. And plus, there's so many things going on that I think that I have a right to do what I want to. You want to be like Jesus? Yes. Then you need to take verse 52 a little seriously and say, I know there's some auctions on Sunday now. It grieves me that they have. I mean, they're having big auctions on Sunday now. I was saddened to read in the paper where I used to be at Jackson Baptist Church, about a half a mile or a mile down the road. A lovely couple lived there, and now they turned it into an auction place. And they have auctions on Sunday while the people are having church. You say, well, give it to them, hammer on them. No, I just want to say to you that our blessed Lord is an example. What did he do? Well, he went to church on the Sabbath, and he participated. He didn't sit there, look around, draw pictures, color books and all that. He participated, and that's what we need to do. And while we're in Luke, let's go to Mark. If it was his custom to regularly go to church, why can't we learn to say, well, that's what we do? I had a Mennonite, an Amishman say to me, but he became a Mennonite. He said, we don't have to tell our kids to go to church. They just know that we go to church. Okay. Not to question whether we're going to go to church today or not. You say, well, isn't applicable to us? Well, you got some in your family that may operate that way if you look around a little bit. Let's go to the Mark chapter, how religious he was. What were some of his customs? Going to be like the Lord Jesus? Well, I like to think maybe I could do some things that would please him. Well, in the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, you notice there in verse 35 what his custom was. You want to be like the Lord? Yeah, but my schedule is different than his. It is. Look at that verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. You read in the Gospels, he did that frequently. He looked for a solitary place, and he prayed. He got up early in the morning. It's vain to stay up late and get up early, the Bible says. Well, he apparently didn't stay up late. You know, this business of him praying, you could argue the point and say, well, if I'm going to be like Jesus, then I got to tell you, he doesn't have a schedule like I have. I am a busy person. Yeah? And I really don't have time to pray. Was the Lord Jesus kind of a slackard? Didn't have much to do? Just go up in the hills and pray? Hey, he had crowds. He was very busy. And as a man, he had to have some preparation too. I would be careful just to shrug off some things and say things about the Lord Jesus that, well, he didn't have a busy schedule. We'll read about him. But he had compassion. I want to be like the Lord Jesus. He had compassion. When he touched the lepers, you know that. He raised the widow's son. He healed folk. Amazing. Now, I want to talk to you about those mundane things that you and I have to do. You got to wash dishes, don't you, ladies? You got to scrub the floor. You got to do that. We got to do this. We got to do that and say, hey, the Lord had no idea of any of that. How do you know that? Well, yeah, I can't envision the Lord Jesus doing some mundane things. You don't. Well, I can see him in the carpenter shop. Because until 30 years of age, except for that one time when he was 12 years old in the temple, dumbfounding the doctors of law, up until 30, where was he? From 12 years old up to 30 years. Well, the Bible is silent about it, preacher. Yeah, I know it's silent about it. But you know certain things about it, don't you? His stepfather, if I may use that term, he was a carpenter. I believe he was taught to be a carpenter. We do believe that he died before the Lord entered the ministry, so he had to take over the family business. You mean there's no mundane things to take care of a business and make sure things are right and prepared properly with complaints? You think he understands anything about life like that? We say, well, he wouldn't understand what I'm doing. You don't think so? I think he would understand perfectly. You say, well, I don't know how I can be like the Lord Jesus. Well, I believe if he had gone to his shop, I believe he'd have had Class A work done, I'll guarantee you that. And he was doing the right thing. But I want to tell you this. We're talking about taking over the family business. If we read the Bible, we find that the family really didn't believe in him. Isn't that kind of sad? Family really didn't believe in him. Later, yes. But as a general, they didn't believe in him. They even thought he had a mental problem once. Oh, come on. Hey, people may say, you know, he's strange. She's different. And we're not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You want to be like the Lord Jesus, don't try to be like one of these people on TV. Don't try to like to be the Vice President of the United States and talk like he did. Well, you know, I don't know where it was. We do listen to news. It's on Channel 16, brother. They had Jesus Christ Superstar being showed up there somewhere. And there's what is called Godspell. They're perversions. I remember when we had it up here in Matoursville, I thought of protesting. Churches bought tickets to go to see Jesus Christ Superstar. Perversion of our Lord Jesus, especially his humanity. Where in the world is a church that's so dumb and cockeyed that it would take parishioners there to have the secular view about the Lord Jesus? Talk about stupidity. Let's talk about not knowing what the Bible says. Talk about the important thing is only his deity. That is extremely important. But also to look at his humanity. He was fully God, fully man. One person necessary for you and I to get saved. His humanity was necessary. His sacrifice. And also to be Christ-like. Don't give up. You say, well, he was so perfect that he didn't have any problems like we have. No. I know a case where he was crying. Perfect man crying. Yeah, at Lazarus' death. You say, this is the Lord Jesus? Yes. I also read in Hebrews that he was tempted. I don't think he understands. He wouldn't understand men. He wouldn't understand women being tempted. Well, Hebrews says this about it. Just in case you think you already know just by the fact that he's a deity, that you never looked at some of these matters and you got the idea that to be fully man, and he was perfect man without sin. Let's make that very clear. But he was tempted. For we read in Hebrews 4 and verse 15, it says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of infirmity, but was in all points. Oh, he wouldn't understand. Got to read it again. But was in all points tempted, like we as we are, yet without sin. I'm Hebrews 4, verse 15. Now, he didn't sin, but he was tempted. There's a difference. Things come through his mind, and there's temptations as a man, but he did not sin. And I think that we can also have that kind of a possibility if we're reading the Word and we go back to old Father Adam. There's a second Adam. He's called the second Adam. Who is the Lord Jesus? And Adam was perfect. He was to obey the old covenant, and he didn't obey it. But the second Adam, our Lord Jesus, obeyed perfectly. Obeyed perfectly. And he was so perfectly that he was able to be our sacrifice, to take our place. All right, where's that 1 Timothy you're talking about? Maybe we ought to look there. Because that is a blessed passage, 1 Timothy 2. What's so blessed about it? Well, it makes it very clear, as far as I'm concerned, this fifth verse. For there is one God. The triune God is one God. In three persons, so you know that. And he says there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now, friends, if you don't think this is important to talk about the humanity of Christ, then please take this verse and throw it out. If you feel that this isn't that important, because to have a mediator, that is something else. There's one God and there's one mediator between God and man. By nature, we're enmity with God. We've been disobedient. There's really no hope. His wrath upon us. But there's somebody was a go-between. And I think that's just marvelous. And who was this go-between? The Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. And he says, what about it? He is a mediator, a go-between God and men. And he's the man. Do you see the word man, Christ Jesus? What a wonderful Savior. Listen, you would be here tonight if Jesus Christ hadn't given a go-between between you and God. The man, Christ Jesus. I'm just kind of overwhelmed by that. I know that he had some things that you and I probably wouldn't go along with because we're sophisticated, aren't we? Not you, preacher. Well, you're sophisticated then. But he had a rough time with hypocrisy. Not himself, but the hypocrisies around town. The Pharisees. Boy, was he hard on them. That religious crowd who could tote the Bible, who could quote the Bible, who looked it and talked it and tried to walk it and was legalist. And he called them hypocrites. Now listen, Lord, that's not politically correct to call religious people hypocrites. But he did. And not only that, he got him so angry one time he took some pieces of cords together and he lashed at him to get him out of the temple. They were promoting allowing to use the church for a place to make business. You know, I say to my wife, she gets probably tired of hearing it. Well, now I see. In the church page, here's the supper, there's the supper, and now they're having a dandelion and ham supper. And boy, all these suppers for all these churches. And man, it must be the idea of a church to have suppers. That's the purpose of a church. That must be their goal, to have suppers. And then a Lutheran church up in Williamsport is now having one of these here dance things and having a band in. The Lutheran church in Turbinville giving lessons on dancing. Hey, this is church. You know what the Lord Jesus said to that bunch of that crowd? He said, ye hypocrites. And he said, this is God's house. This is where God's people meet. This is not for eating, not for dancing and a band in town. Boy, he came hard down on hypocrites. But I want to tell you something about outsiders. He was gentle to the outsiders. You know, what do you mean? Well, to the immoral, the prostitute, and so forth, he was gentle to them. We, in our society, those bums. What a bunch of people we have in the United States. Immoral, druggies, alkies. Get rid of them. Shoot them. That wasn't the attitude of the Lord Jesus. See how far you get out in left field? That's the way we're brought up culturally. And you know another thing, and I know this is to be a thing. In the church, everybody's fine. A preacher, he's supreme. Everybody's fine. We're all just wonderful people in the church. And we don't say anything. We don't offend anybody. We just real nice and easy. That wasn't the way of the Lord Jesus. I tell you, that's not right. We're hard on the outsiders, most churches, and real easy on the insiders. We're such wonderful people as Christians, aren't we? We're not proud, like we heard Sunday. We're just good people. And you're all very good people, and all have positive teaching, and just say nice positive things, and oh, this will be just great. That wasn't the way of the Lord. Just the exact opposite. He really got on the cases of folk, the insiders, who said they thought they were really something. And with the outsiders, he was gentle to them. Can we still learn to be a little bit more like the Lord Jesus? We talked about last Sunday about he was a servant. He didn't come to be served, he came to serve. Can I learn something from that? Or is it just Molly and me and the baby makes three and the rest of the world can go to hell? I'm not too much interested in it. No, that's not the way the Lord did it. And he was humble. He was humble. We're taught in our society by the government schools, Caesar School, that, you got to let people know how good you really are. Look at that grade you got. You can post the grades up. Yeah. Looks pretty good, doesn't it? Yeah, you guys always get top grades. We only get top grades. Well, how good we are. Thank you very much. I'm really good. That's the way our attitude is. Not only that, that wasn't the attitude of the Lord, that see what great things we have done. Hey, don't you know who we are? There are people that have families like that. They're prejudiced about their family. Don't they know who we are? We're blue bloods. We're somebodies. Trouble with this, now we got computers, we can find out we got some black horses in our families. If you want to look at it, to be honest. Well, that isn't the way of the Lord Jesus. I just say this to us. There was never a time that Lord Jesus was not God. He was always God. Always, 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 fully God. Always. But there was a time that he took upon himself bone, blood, tissue, like you and I have. And he became fully man. I just seem to be overwhelmed with the idea that I can actually follow the Lord Jesus. He gives me his spirit, and he wants me to be like him. And I, probably not a good student as I ought to be, but I ought to take heart to follow Jesus, to be a Christ one, to have Christ likeness. And some of these dirty habits that we have that we won't give up, and nobody knows about them, but the Lord knows about them, and some of our hypocrisies that we have, brethren, he was religious, but he was obedient. And he went to services and he paid attention. And he learned. And he was taught. And he participated. And he was compassionate. You know, brethren, if you say you're a Christian, there are some things that we can learn to be like the Lord Jesus. We have not arrived. In fact, I haven't seen any of you arrive yet. And you look at me and you know I haven't arrived. But that doesn't mean we throw in the towel. And to know that if we follow him, and especially a sacrifice, he took our place as a human being. He couldn't use a dog. He couldn't use a sheep in our place. No, we're not dogs. We're not sheep. We're not animals of some sort, a clean animal, and to be sacrificed in my place. No, it had to be a perfect human in order for that sacrifice to be fully accepted in our place, in our stead, taking our sins, becoming sin for us. Had to be a perfect sacrifice. I tell you, it's a wonderful Savior, but let's get a full Savior while we're talking about it. Not just talking about His great deity, which is so wonderful, but also about His humanity. I think I'm going to let it there tonight. And perhaps in the future, I could read some scripture to you here tonight on this subject, and a lot of passages. In fact, I think I will. I still have a few minutes. Let's go to Philippians 2. Well, we've been to Philippians. Did we learn all there was in Philippians? No. Chapter 2. Wow, what a Savior. Let's start here in verse 5. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being a form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. You want to be like Jesus? Listen to these words of God. These are the words of God. And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Colossians 1. Oh, what a great passage. If you think of Colossians, please think of the first chapter of Colossians. Just so amazing. And I start to read at verse 15 of Colossians 1. Speaking about our Lord Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Aren't you glad? And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now that even ought to make you more glad. He keeps us going, and all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have what? That he might have the preeminence. Oh, how wonderful. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace, isn't this marvelous, friends? Verse 20. And having made peace, how did he make peace? By his body, fully man, through the blood of his cross. By him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. How important was it that we know about the humanity of our Lord Jesus? Fully God, fully man in one person.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.